We all woke up to news of the protests going on college campuses around the country, in some cases escalating, and late yesterday into last evening, that was the case at University of Pittsburgh. And joining us is our own Tamira Rush, who is out in Oakland. Tamira, good morning. She'll be with us in just a second here. Meanwhile, videos posted showed the protesters trying to cross over onto the property of the University of Pittsburgh in front of the Cathedral of Learning. And two arrests were made, but no other incidents after that, right, Paul? Just the two arrests so far.
Just the two. I don't know how large a group went across from Schenley Plaza onto the lawn area around the cathedral itself. But the people who were trying to pitch a tent were the ones that police arrested. And there may have been more than one or two, but those were the two arrests.
And as you just reported with Tamira Rush, who is there now and joins us in Oakland at the University of Pittsburgh. Tamira, things are calm as you reported right now, correct?
Correct. Things are calm. It seems like, you know, they're just gathering with each other, trying to figure out and strategize what their next move is. But they're just, it's a cleanup day for them. One of the organizers stated that's just something that they're going to focus on, but their demands remain high here. They are asking to have conversations with the chancellor, local politicians. Specifically, they named Mayor Ed Gainey. But it's quiet right now, but there is no plan on any protest today at this time.
I'm curious, because of graduation, and you know it's going to get quiet over there around the University of Pittsburgh. Yeah, we're all kind of wondering what happens next.
Yeah, that's the question that I ask, and it seems like, you know, it's kind of tight-lipped right now, but you know, they're still here at my Schenley Plaza. They're still camping out. There's tents here. People are, you know, organizing now. They have their bullhorn in place. I guess they're going to, you know, organize and get ready to do or state what their next move is. But it's quiet here now, but that doesn't mean things won't ramp up in the next, you know, hour or so. But I'll be here live reporting from Schenley Plaza.
Also, Tamira, for those that don't know, you have a personal side of this story that stretches all the way to California.
Yes, I do. My son is getting his master's at USC, and we were informed that the big commencement there has been canceled. However, they are having smaller department graduations with, you know, each department there. So it's kind of like a wait and see at this time. But next week, next Friday, is his graduation. So, you know, I'm on both sides of this, to be honest with you, but this is something that's happening nationally. It's not just here as far as, you know, the University of Pittsburgh students, but there are students here from Carnegie Mellon, and we have a variety of students here and organizers and protesters that are coming together to put their, you know, to get their voice out and let people know that they are, you know, pro-Palestine.
All right, Tamira Rush live in Oakland, the University of Pittsburgh. Thanks, T.
Thank you.
All right, so Paul, I guess it's a wait and see, but I have a feeling with graduations and the schools emptying out that some of this has got to wane.
Right? I would wonder about that after hearing the actuality that we played during Tamira's live report at the top of the hour. It sounds to me like they're digging in.
Yeah, but to what end? I mean, what they're asking for is basically an impossibility for a university to, A, disclose where all their investments are that keep their endowments going. And then I saw a report over the weekend that detailed how difficult it would be to extract certain things from those portfolios. It's not just, hey, here's a direct line of money that's going to this contractor or this place. It's much more difficult than that.
Their investments, I'm sure, are in huge funds. And tracking it all down to the last dollar would be, I would imagine, a very difficult thing to do. That would be, of course, if the university leaders even went along with even some of that.
So it doesn't look like it's, at this point,
it seems unlikely to me that there'll be any response other than waiting for them to leave Shanley Plaza.
Yeah, and Eva Anderson is a reporter in Philadelphia at the University of Pennsylvania.
Nobody wants to look in the mirror and say, I'm part of committing genocide.
Hundreds came together to share matzah and a message.
Free Palestine.
It's a collaboration between Tikkun Olam Havura, Jewish Voice for Peace, Philadelphia, Rabbis for Ceasefire, and Families for Ceasefire.
This year, Passover felt as if we couldn't say the words that we were liberated and we were fully celebrating when we know that the people of Gaza are being killed.
So, and obviously, President Biden has put pressure on Israel, especially because they're anticipating a move into Gaza again, and a lot of countries are putting pressure on Israel not to do that. So,
and there's no sign from Netanyahu of backing away from their plan to go after Hamas again. This time, I think the city is called Rafah.
And there are about 130 hostages, including, I believe, five Americans, still somewhere in there.
Being held by Hamas.
So if Hamas would say, okay, here, take the hostages, would that end the conflict? I don't know.
It would be a good faith move to try.
It might. All right, we'll keep you posted what's happening here with Tamira Rush live in Oakland on the Big K Morning Show. Paul, did you know it's going to be hot today?
I guess the TV people are aware of that. One of the TV reporters this morning was talking a fair amount about dealing with heat.
I felt bad for her because obviously they're assigned that, so they got to make – it's like, okay, tell everybody how to stay cool.
Yes, have a cool drink, use the air conditioning or a fan.
SPF, whatever.
My word.
Yeah, and
– oh.
Well, what happens?
It's just
is,
the same as the stuff that they do during the winter months where they have some poor soul standing in front of a pile of salt –
with a Snuggie.
Telling everybody
in the trunk
that they're PennDOT's ready for the winter weather. Well, of course they are. You know, tell me something I don't know. And now with our latest Nothing Burger report, here's so-and-so telling us, you know, to put on a coat because it's cold.
I also feel bad they just send them to random places.
Yes. Right. Yeah, standing in front of a dark stadium, for example. Let's say that the Steelers had a draft pick on Thursday night, and then the following morning there was the poor reporter standing down there in the darkness outside Acrisure Stadium.
Nobody's here right now.
Nothing's happening here.
You know what today is? The start of golf season for all those charity golf events, of which there are many on Mondays from now into October.
I drove by the driving range on Saturday morning, and it was packed, Larry. It was packed.
Well, there's also been the proliferation of all these places where you can, you know, virtual golf. So you can do that year-round, obviously. And St. Anthony School, which is a great school here in Pittsburgh, originally was across from Oakmont Country Club, is having their big fundraiser today. And they don't do fundraisers like that. You know, you can't just get on Oakmont, right?
No.
So this is a big deal. St. Anthony School helps kids that have Down syndrome, autism spectrum disorders, and other special needs. So the school is just fabulous for what the work that they do. stanthonykids.org if you want to learn more. But how they make, I guess this is their big fundraiser of the year, is they get guys, they're flying from all over the country to be here for this.
Well, the draw is the courts. Have you ever played Oakmont?
Once. I was told, get out. Don't come back. Not as bad as when Marty came to my tournament with open-toed sandals for a golf. I said, you got to have spikes. But
Lovely, anyway. Yeah.
So, yeah, just to play Oakmont, which is very prestigious. Obviously, people around the world know. And believe it or not, the U.S. Open is next month, June. Well, I mean, next month. I'm already mentally into May with the heat. But the Open comes back to Oakmont next June 25th already.
Huge event.
2025.
Wonderful.
So it's a big deal.
I've not played Oakmont. The only really great course I've played, even all the years I lived in Jacksonville, I never played at Sawgrass, where they have the TPC. But I did get to play down in South Florida, PGA National once, and my score was just horrific. Tough course. I was in a bunker so deep that I couldn't see out of it.
Yeah, I'm not a big aficionado. I like to play when I can, but some of the plum courses around here are Oakmont, Laurel Valley, let's see, Field Club, St. Clair.
Longview?
Fox Chapel, Longview. I'm a member at North Park, which has a great reciprocal with South Park. Anyway, you know who we're going to talk to coming up? The Pomp.
It's not easy being a pompster.
The Pompin' ain't easy. This is his time, man.
Yeah.
Over the weekend, do about 6 or 7 charity events while he's covering the Steelers picks. Speaking of which, I saw Charlie Batch, just a Saturday example. You know, him and his wife, Tasha, have done this Best of the Batch for the kids in our community. They just had a ribbon cutting of a facility they built, really from the ground up. Incredible work. He was at Acrisure Stadium. The Steelers had a draft party for fans like they do every year. People get to go on the field, go into the locker rooms, take pictures with the Super Bowl trophies, meet alumni, and they bring in the picks, right? Well, Charlie was there for that. Then he came to the Western Pennsylvania Sports Hall of Fame dinner Saturday night over in Station Square. And then after that, went to do TV coverage for the draft with Pomp.
I saw them. Enjoyed about a half hour of it.
They're really good together.
They are. I like them when they're doing the games on TV.
Yeah, I would imagine that the next big thing is going to be OTAs, Mother's Day weekend. And then
what does OTA stand for, by the way? Optional?
Yeah, it's
something.
So there's
optional training something, activity?
Yeah, they're mandatory certain weekends because of the rules with the Players Association. They make certain things optional. That's one of them. But anyway, speaking of the NFL, Texans wide receiver Tank Dell was wounded in a shooting overnight in Florida. The team said on social media that occurred in Sanford, Florida. Here's CBS's Matt Piper.
The shooting took place at Cabana Live, a party venue in Sanford, Florida. A teenage gunman allegedly opened fire at the venue following a verbal altercation early Sunday morning, wounding 10 people. The Texans wrote on social media that Tank Dell sustained a minor wound but has been released from the hospital and is in good spirits. Dell, who is from nearby Daytona Beach, was a third-round draft pick for the Texans in 2023. Matt Piper, CBS News.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, I mean, it's been a while since we've had, you know, I mean, 10 people shot.
It's gotten to the point where if you have the slightest resentment, they grab a gun. That's the solution, is going completely over the top.
For a lot of people, unfortunately, that is true. All right, coming up, we'll talk to Bob Pompiani and also Marty in the next half hour. I know Marty's got a ground-level gentleman who has tried to walk his way through the protest that he's going to be talking to coming up. Marty Griffin, 10 to 2 on KD. This is the Big K Morning Show, Larry Richard, with Bob Pompiani. Mr. Pompiani is on his way in. He does his Mondays. And he gets ready for his fan visit every Monday. Robert, good morning.
Larry, it's always a pleasure. How are you, my friend?
I'm good. You sound pumped up, and I know why.
Yes, I'm pumped up. It's not just because of the coffee either.
No, I know you're not a big early morning guy. It's not that early, though, Bob. But, however, you've been around a long time, 4 decades with the Steelers organization. So how would you grade their picks over the weekend?
Well, First of all, Larry, I'm not I don't really like to give grades because I think in time the grade will reveal itself with all of these drafts. And I get why people get excited about it, and I thought it was a great draft based on their needs and based on their what they're trying to do. So from that point of view, it was a successful draft. They acquired three offensive linemen. They haven't done that, Larry, since 2012 in one draft, and combined that with last year, that's 5 in 2 years. They knew they had to rebuild an offensive line that, you know, 2 years ago had guys like John LeGlue on it. Nothing against John, but, you know, my point is,
Mr. McGlue.
Mr. McGlue. I mean, I like John. He's a good guy, but he shouldn't be on the starting offensive line. And that's, you know, Ben Roethlisberger had to deal with that and Kendrick Green at center. So they needed to upgrade, and they did. I think football, regardless of what you think of it, Larry, because everyone's caught up in the offensive side of it, including every team. This is why they had 6 quarterbacks taken in 12 picks. This is why they had the first 14 players on the board go off as offensive players. But still, the basic football philosophy wins, and that is winning the physical battle in the trenches. You can do a lot with that, especially when you have 2 quarterbacks who are not necessarily, you know, I mean, they're good in name and stature, what they've done. Russell Wilson's a 9-time Pro Bowler, but I don't know if he's the same quarterback he was in Seattle. So surround him with good guys up front who can protect him, because he was one of the most sacked quarterbacks in the game last year, as was Justin Fields. So that's a principal foundational kind of thing, and they accomplished it. So from that point of view, I was very happy with what they did.
Hey, Bob, we were talking about this earlier with Jeff Hathorn. I'd like to get your take on it. How many of these players do you think, after a year after almost all of the draftees, in fact, they all did, made the 53-man roster, how many of these players do you think have a chance of cracking the roster this year?
Well, that's a good question, and that's also part of the analysis of it. You know, I don't think, generally speaking, there's always a couple that don't. I think these guys are all, the one thing I liked about it, too, is the fact that they're all proven products in terms of what they were able to do in a long college career. They weren't one-year guys who came in with a lot of production or a lot of potential, lacked production. Like, you know, Trey Lance was a quarterback that 49ers took several years ago. He only had 1 year under his belt. Zach Wilson, same way. And look what's happened to these guys. So I think it takes time. So from that point of view, I hope they all do. But I guarantee there'll be one probably that won't. And it may be because of injury. It may be just because they're not, you know, not as good as they were taken. But generally speaking, I would expect the thing that's changed is people expect people to play today. They don't. They used to wait, and not anymore. You drafted Zach Frazier, better play. He better start day one. So too with Fontanu. He better start day one. I think Roman Wilson is a guy who can come right in and make a difference. You guys know, back in the day, you'd have to wait 2 years or 1 year, whatever, to get your opportunity. Well, now they want immediate results. And so when you take college people who have 4 years under their belt, I think you have a head start in that.
We're with the legendary Bob Pompiani, everybody. Bob, did you hear this? We kind of touched on this. Just one little thing stood out to me over the weekend, outside of a great draft by the Steelers, was Roger Goodell suggesting, when asked and pressed about extending the season in the future, he said, well, what about the Super Bowl being President's Weekend, where most everybody has Monday off? It's a federal holiday. What do you think? You could work longer, Bob.
Well, I think from fans' point of view, that's a good thing. I don't have any problem with that whatsoever. I'm not a big fan of the 18th Goodell initiative. There's other stuff going on, too, that's been suggested, having Super Bowls overseas in different countries, which I totally am against, only because this is an American sport, and I think it should be played here where people – it costs enough to go to one of these things, you guys know. And then if you're going to make people go overseas to see their team, I think that's asking a bit much. I understand the global initiative that they want to take, but I think at some point you've got to look realistically at it. So, yeah, a holiday would be good. You know, most people are going to be unproductive at work the next day anyway, so, you know, that makes sense to me.
Hey, Bob, circling back to the draft itself, how about our division opponents in Baltimore, Cincinnati, and Cleveland? What kind of drafts did these teams have?
Well, they'll tell you they all had good ones. They all do.
Right.
But again, we'll find out. I think Cincinnati did a pretty good job of what they needed. Again, when you have elite quarterbacks like Joe Burrow, You need to put an emphasis on offensive line. You need to do the things that can make your team better to help him. And again, that's what I think the Steelers have done. If you have a strong running game to accentuate what you have in the passing game. And by the way, I go back to the Steelers. They still need a little bit more in their wide receiving room, I think. So I wouldn't be surprised if they signed somebody here coming up. But I think Cleveland didn't have much to work with, though. You know, they've given everything away to Houston in that trade for Deshaun Watson. And, boy, have the Houston Texans made out from that. So, you know, and it's the same thing with Russell Wilson. Denver gave so much away to Seattle, and now look what's happened. He's not even there anymore. So be careful of those kind of trades if you're an NFL team. But, you know, I think every team tried to assess their need. Baltimore, to me, did a, you know, they're going to be, you talk about a good run team. They brought in Derrick Henry. They brought in some pretty good players on both sides of the ball in their draft. Whether or not they pan out, I don't know, but they're going to be a really physical team. And that Ravens Steelers rivalry game is going to be even more intense than I think it's ever been.
Well, Bob, thank you. Have a big day. This is probably one of the last times we can talk to you because golf season's underway now.
Yeah, well, I haven't played. Come on, Larry. I want to play more golf, not less. It seems like as I get older, I'm playing less golf. But, you know, I'm in the parking lot right now. I'm going to shut this off.
All right.
I'll come to see you guys in person, and you can see my golf shirt, which talks about my golf tournament coming up. So
yeah, well, when is that? Why not? You're here.
Well, it's June 10th, and it's 33 years for me. Like, you were involved in American Cancer Society. You know, there's so many great causes. This one is for Partners for Quality, which helps mentally challenged people search for jobs, get jobs, and give them something in their life that otherwise they may not have. So it's been great, and that's what we do. So June the 10th at Chartiers Country Club, if you're interested.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a great, great effort. All right, Robert, we'll see you in a few minutes.
Absolutely. Thanks, gents. Have a good day.
The great Bob Pompiani. And coming up, Marty Griffin's here. Talking about golf tournaments, don't forget, Shendorovich, Shendorovich, and Fishman presenting for It's About the Warrior Foundation. May 28th at Valley Brook Country Club, a chance for you to help our men and women who have served, two individuals reach their dreams who have sacrificed for our country. For foursomes and sponsorship information, visit 98twinsgolf.com. Coming up 10 to 2, Marty Griffin. Morning, Marty. You were at the Central event on Saturday.
Love the school, love the program, love Terry Totten. Hey, these protests, which side you're on is irrelevant to me. What is relevant is those tents, those people in those tents, that's breaking the law. And Pittsburgh, the mayor and the chief have done this delicate dance of not trying to cause a commotion by not arresting them. But they had a deadline Friday to move, and they didn't. And they said, cool, we'll move it to Saturday. Then they said Saturday to change it to yesterday at noon. Now, I'm hearing from my sources that they're supposed to arrest anyone in those tents at noon today. Will they do it? I don't think so. In the meantime, let's just be clear. What they're doing, this isn't Marty Griffin talking, what they're doing, Larry, is illegal. And the police department should enforce the law. Because, Lawrence, if the KKK wants to come in tomorrow and do a rally right there and camp out.
Set up tents.
Right on, brother. They got the right to do that. If Antifa wants to do that, I'm just telling you that this is the rule of law in America. And they, in the meantime, we're paying for the overtime, we're paying for the cleanup, and we're paying for the nonsense. And it's a big, big problem. Hey, man, I got, Razz will love this, I got that sheriff live at noon from
Grady,
Florida.
Grady Judd, way to go,
the
Marty.
Hell-raising, angry sheriff is going to talk about Ornstein, and why shouldn't he? This judge in Pittsburgh that does ridiculous things by setting criminals free is now making national news. His mother's probably very proud. And I got to tell you something. Patrick watches my social media. I posted video of two folks overdosing in PPG. Did you see that, Patrick?
Over I the saw weekend? That. Yep.
And that's disturbing enough. But I know Patrick does this because he's my partner in all this. The hateful, vindictive, spiteful.
I read some of the comments.
Vengeful. It hurts my heart to think that people would rather them die. I mean this, Larry.
I saw some of the comments. It's hard to read them for that reason.
And Larry, I want to say one thing about this. And we all love dogs. This governor in South Dakota suggesting that this is a big deal now. She had a puppy when she was growing up and decided because the puppy was unruly, Patrick, this puppy.
Yes.
She murdered it.
She shot it. She took a pistol, took it out, shot it, wounded it, didn't kill it. So she had to go back and get more ammo to come back.
And she thinks that shows leadership. She needs to be drug tested. That's just asinine. And you're going to talk, and we're taking this up as Get Marty. I have lawyers lined up. And we all have kids, and we all have daughters. Larry, this sweet little girl was in a cyber school. And now the cyber school kids, Patrick knows this, you can play in sports and stuff and go to events at the schools, right?
Yep.
She goes to a dance. She's 14, Larry, over the weekend. This 14-year-old girl, they come up to her in the middle of the damn dance, Burgettstown. And throw her out. Throw her physically out. Because you're not part of this school. You're not allowed to be here. Really? Is this as good as it gets, brother? Come on, Larry.
Coming up, Marty Griffin. Get Marty. And Marty, you know how this town is. So Thursday, I was in Oakland. And this gentleman on a bicycle comes up to me. He says, I'm Marty's friend. He's your guy that's...
It's my man, the dentist.
Yes,
I love him.
He's on the campus there.
Yes, he is, every day. Dressed in red, white, white, and blue as Uncle Sam.
He did. He dressed as Uncle Sam.
Love him. They were pushing him around. I got to say one thing. One of my boys, and I mean this, and Patrick knows him really well, and you know Bob Minard, the best cop I ever knew. Was like my father, honestly. And I cried like a baby over the weekend. Bob Minard died. There's no better man in my life other than my dad. Bob Minard and his daughter called me on Saturday. I know people die. I know we all die. But that doesn't matter when you lose one of the best men I've ever known, Bob Minard. Love you, man. Love his family.
From the PJ Fitz.